Great. We can turn to Luke chapter 22, and I just want to announce that tomorrow morning we are going to take a little trip. We're going, it's not very far, probably 20 some minutes, and we are going to visit a local church in the area. Dan Weaver on staff, this is his home church, not too far from here. Now, the number of attendees at this church is not that big. It's out in a very small town out in the country. These believers are very nice. I've been there a number of times myself. But we did this one time before, and we didn't tell them we were coming. This was Dan's idea. Well, Dan knew we were coming, and he gave us the okay to do it. So they gathered Sunday morning, as they always do, in number very small. And then the doors opened at the back before things had started, of course. And a few people came in. Some visitors are here. And the visitors just kept coming. They kept coming. They started filling in the rows of seats. And we had the place filled out. And really, I mean, tears came to some of their eyes. Literally, that's not an expression I'm using. Now, I don't know that it will have the same talk value as last time. Not that that's the most descriptive thing of what we were going for, but because they, you know, they had seen it again. But nonetheless, I think it'd be very encouraging to them. And their meetings, they have two meetings in the morning on Sunday. One of them is quite familiar to you. It will be a time where somebody stands up at the front and talks about and teaches things from the Bible. There will be some singing of hymns, and much like you would imagine what church would be. Now, many of you, but maybe not all of you, are familiar with the other meeting that they have, known by various names, the Lord's Supper, or a time to remember the Lord, or some would say a remembrance of the Lord, a remembrance meeting, or something like that. The breaking of bread would also be the name of this time. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that period of time and practically what it would mean for us tomorrow. So let's begin in Luke chapter 22. And I'll look at verse 19, Luke 22 and 19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Now that is wonderful. This is when the Lord, before he would be crucified, the night before, he would take bread and a cup, as we just read. And he specifically said, do this in remembrance of me. And now, if you look back at verse 15, prior to doing this, he says to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." There was something very particular about this time with his disciples that he wanted. He says he desired it with fervent desire in this translation. Now, when we come together to remember the Lord, I would say that it does us a lot of good. Just remembering him does us good. But here, the Lord is emphasizing something a little different. He's not saying this is good for you. Here he's saying it's in some sense good for me. In other words, he's saying I have desired this. And I like to think about that when it comes to the Lord's Supper, because it's here where he institutes the Lord's Supper. That not only is it something that is good for us, but that is something that seems to please him as we remember him the way he said. And this is a wonderful thing to think about as we're bringing to mind a relationship the way our brother has been talking about. Relationships are not always one way. Hopefully, we're not the only recipients of the good of a relationship, but that in a relationship, we also care about what the other in the relationship is interested in. And here's something the Lord says, it's with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So if we were to miss a Lord's Supper, we might say we missed something, and that may be true. But it may also be true to say that he missed something for our not being there. So what I'd like to talk about at this moment is this breaking of the bread, passing it, and the drinking of the cup. Now, when the Lord did this, it is quite possible that the disciples were familiar with what he was doing. We say, well, this is when he started it all. This is the institution of the Lord's Supper. This is the first one. So if it's the first one, how could they already know what he was doing? And the answer is they probably did. And we get that hint back in Jeremiah. So come back to Jeremiah. It's 16, I think. We'll find out when I get there. Yeah, Jeremiah 16. And what we're going to see is this concept of breaking bread and passing a cup was already known to the Jewish culture. So when the Lord did this, they would look on and say, yeah, I know what you're doing. Okay, look at Jeremiah 16, come down to verse 4. They shall die gruesome deaths. Now, we won't worry about the context for the sake of time, but let's just say people were being judged and they were going to die as a result of this. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried. So the Lord is saying, this judgment, you're not even to give them a proper burial. Okay. But they shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and all kinds of other bad things. All right. Verse 5. For thus says the Lord, do not enter the house of mourning, nor go to lament or bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from these people. Now, if the Lord says, as he does here, do not enter the house of mourning for them, what can you conclude would often be done when somebody died? People would do what? What?
Mourn.
Or go in the house of mourning according to verse. Nor lament or bemoan them. So from that, if the Lord is saying you're not going to do it in this case, what is it that they would sometimes do? Well, lament or bemoan them. For I've taken away my peace from this people. Now look down at verse 7. Here's something else they're not to do for them. Nor shall men break bread in mourning for them to comfort them for the dead, nor shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or mother. Also, you shall not go to the house of feasting, and so on. So within these things that they were normally accustomed to doing, what did we find in verse 7? The breaking of bread and the passing of a cup. Familiar. What was happening was the Lord took symbols that people were used to with regard to how to remember one that died, and he now applies them to himself and says, you're going to now do this. I take it this thing you're familiar with, and you're going to do it in remembrance of me. Now, I understand that this is actually done in cultures, and there is evidence outside of the Bible of this, that people would in fact do this, break bread and take a cup for one that has died. And they do it remembering them. And the idea is as they share this bread together, they would talk about the deceased. And they would remember the one that died as they would eat the bread and take this cup. I went to a Greek restaurant near my house. This picture comes out. I don't know how it's coming out on the screen, but that you can see my phone hovering in front of the screen in the reflection, maybe. But this was a picture on the wall of this restaurant. Obviously, I mean, there were lots of pictures. It wasn't just a picture by itself. There were lots of pictures on the wall, and this was one of them. And the woman is obviously sad in the picture. And the owner, he has all kinds of his own family photos up in the restaurant. She's sad. She's wearing this covering over her head. There are these loaves of bread in front of her and so on. And obviously, she's very sad. Now, I saw this picture, and I wonder, what's going on here? So I talked to the owner who was there. The owner comes out all the time. We were kind of acquaintances with him from being in the restaurant a few times. So I asked him, I said, what is going on in this picture? Oh, he said, yes. In this picture, somebody has died. He said, that's why she's looking sad. Somebody's died. And then he stopped there. I said, well, why is there bread in front of her? Oh, yes, you don't understand this. Yeah, I'll tell you. You see, when somebody has died, we come together and we have bread together. And we like to say, now he said, say funny things, like about the one that's died. But anyway, to remember them, I guess in that way, it's a fun way, kind of remembering maybe cute or humorous things that they did or something like that. But the point is that they would share this bread and remember the one that died. This is modern day. And I understand there are evidences outside of the scriptures that this has been going on for a long time, and even evidence in scripture even before Christ came. And this is helpful to me to understand why we come together and why we do what we do. Now, there are differences between remembering the Lord and remembering someone who's died. Can you tell me one of the biggest differences?
He's not dead anymore.
He's not dead anymore right now. I mean, we're remembering him even though he is alive. And so he has been raised from the dead, physically raised from the dead. And we remember one who has been resurrected that way. But he did die, and we are remembering him in his death. You show forth the Lord's death till he come. So that's one difference, is that we're remembering one who, yes, died, but is in fact risen. And in that, he listens to us remembering. That's also different from the way we would handle anybody else who has died. And these symbols may not particularly match another person who died, but they do particularly match the Lord Jesus. And that will be something for another time this week. But the bread symbolizing his body, the blood, the cup symbolizing his blood. Now, one interesting question is, when we come together to remember the Lord, now, technically, if we were to follow the instructions as given in Luke 22, or the instructions as given elsewhere, an example would be 1 Corinthians 11, if we were to follow those instructions and just carry out by the letter what is said to be done, how long would it take? 5 minutes or something, right? I mean, you basically break bread and pass a cup. It doesn't really take that long. But understood in this context that this is something that accompanies remembering one who has died, we then can say, yes, it seems right and fitting that we should not just follow the letter of, yes, taking the bread and drinking of the cup, but that it is right that we take some time to remember this one. And the Lord says that. You're doing this in remembrance of me. Now, what does it mean? What does it look like then to remember him? Well, I find this whole concept of remembering somebody that's died to be very helpful. Now, by the way, who's been to a memorial service ever? Okay, most everybody raised their hand, a memorial service. What's the difference between a memorial service and a funeral, by the way?
Memorial service has no body.
Very good. Yes, if the body is there, it's called a funeral. If the body is not there, it's called a memorial service. Excellent. An undertaker told me that. Anyway, there's a little tidbit for you. What did you learn at Summit Week? There's another one you can take home and shock people back home. Learn the difference between a funeral and a memorial service. But what is the root word in memorial? I mean, what's the basic word that word memorial is built on? Memory. And what is the word that you think remembrance is built off of? Memory. Remembery. It's memory. So in other words, a memorial, it's pretty much the Lord said, do this as a memorial service to me. And that's what he was conveying there. So how do we remember somebody that has departed, that has died? Well, most of us have been to a memorial service, and people talk about things they remember about them. And that is very fitting for us to do. So tomorrow when we go, we will meet for this thing called the Lord's Supper. And we're going to remember him. Now, we don't all talk at once, just like at a memorial service. Not everybody talks at once. He is alive, which means that there are times in the middle of remembering him, people may even pray and perhaps even directly to him, which is a difference. That you don't do in a normal memorial service. But we remember him, we share truths about him from the scriptures, and we talk about him in that sense together. Now, for doing this audibly, it would be one at a time. We aren't doing it all at the same time or anything like that. And for tomorrow morning, and this is also consistent with this local church, it'll be the men that would share audibly. We'll have a time of about an hour. Now, I know from past experience that this group that gathers here is a wonderfully active group in the Lord's Supper. And I don't want that to change tomorrow. In other words, as just like you're active here when we meet down here for a Lord's Supper, as we've done in years past, to be the same. Be the same there. But I'll just say this, for the time schedule, don't linger on. If you believe that the Lord would have you to share something audibly, go ahead and do it, in good speed. All right. Let me get a quick look at the time here. Let's see where we are. All right. Now, those of you who are unfamiliar with this, I mean, and maybe you're not, you don't normally practice this at home, I would ask that this not be the place that you start. So if this is new to you and you're like, okay, I'm not used to doing this normally, then just go and kind of watch and listen and see what happens. There'll be a time where the bread is given and the cup is passed and so on. Actually, these days of COVID and so on, I think there'll be little containers. But anyway, however it is distributed, kick back is a bad word, but relax and just watch and see what goes on. And if there's something passed or whatever, just say, I'm just kind of watching and learning this round. But if you normally are remembering the Lord in this way, then we ask you to participate as well there. Now, what is it appropriate to say at the Lord's Supper? This is something that bothers a lot of people. They're like, well, I have something to say. I'm not sure if it's appropriate. Well, the understanding of a memorial service, even if Christ is alive, is extremely helpful in knowing what would be appropriate to say. So when you get up at a memorial service, you talk about dear Uncle Charlie that has passed on, you want to remember him and talk about him. Now, is it possible at a memorial service that you get up and you talk about yourself? The answer is maybe. So suppose Uncle Charlie was very generous. And like, I remember when I was 8 years old, Uncle Charlie, he's so generous. He got me a bicycle when I was 8. And you know, Uncle Charlie couldn't get just the cheap bicycle. He had to get the best one, you know, with the little card that flips in the spokes to make the noise. And the ones with the little streamers hanging out of the handlebars, you know, and talk about yourself in the sense that you are showing what he was like. Do you understand? Yeah, you might, in the sense that it's showing what he's like. Now, if you kind of go off and start saying, you know, yeah, I remember the times I had with that bike. If that bike would come, I remember one time I had it down here, and then I had it over there, and I did this. Before long, people are like, whose memorial service are we at? So it seems that we get it with a memorial service. And when we come to the Lord's Supper, we scratch our heads and say, well, I don't know what's appropriate. It might just be helpful to say, okay, I'm going to take the understanding of the memorial service, going to transfer it over and say, oh, yes, this would be appropriate to say. It's about the Lord Jesus, and it's bringing an aspect of the Lord close to our attention. And by doing that, we remember him. So any questions about tomorrow and the Lord's Supper and things like that from what we discussed here?
How will the trip go as far as those cleaning up from breakfast?
Good question. We're going to have an earlier and easier breakfast tomorrow. Intentionally designed that way. And you'll get particular instructions on that and the time to line up vehicles and things like that later on.
What about clothing? Like, how should we dress and things like that?
Right. There's not a particular dress code. I know from past experience here, people have generally brought something different to wear on Sunday mornings, maybe nicer and so on. So please wear those if you have them. If you came and what you have is what you have on, you know, that kind of thing, don't worry about it. Just wear that. So you should be all right. So wear, if you have something special picked out, wear it. And if you don't feel bad. Just come along. All right. Well, why don't we close? And lunch is going to be at 1:15. So you'll have a few minutes beforehand. We'll meet over at the dining hall. Our Father, we thank you for this thought and the preciousness that we can have of remembering you. And we are in wonder that it's not just something that is good and healthy for us to think about the Lord Jesus, but it is something that pleases him. It pleases God. We are in wonder at the verse that says that God seeks worshipers and that he would seek out something like that. So we thank you for the privilege, and we thank you that the Lord has done something so simple that it can be practiced anywhere in the world. We pray that we would honor him tomorrow in that, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.